This is the LA Local Morning Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back this afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Too many people dumping their trash in Long Beach. A bear raids a house in Sierra Madre, went straight for the fridge. But first, this huge fire on the yacht in Marina Del Rey.
Yeah, it just blew up. Apparently, there was 1,000 rounds of ammo and also fireworks on board. And for some reason, it just exploded last night. Raging fire. And eventually, well, the yacht sank. The investigation's underway this morning into what happened. We get more live from the scene in our John Baird.
You should check out the fire on social media. It was really intense. The flames were just tearing through the yacht, and it took a couple of hours for firefighters to knock the flames down. It didn't help that the fireworks were on board, too. They were going off. People saw them, and they heard them.
There were a lot of explosions, some fireworks, some ammo coming out. Surprisingly sunk. It's a well-running boat with an aluminum hull, but she's underwater.
Shocking.
Absolutely.
Yes, there was ammunition on board, and others thought the ammunition was going off too, but LA County Fire Captain Sheila Kelleher tells me they don't believe that that's the case.
There was ammunition on board, about 1,000 rounds, but it was unspent, and the explosions were the fireworks, because there were fireworks on board.
Now, cleanup crews are busy trying to soak up all the diesel fuel. The smell is really strong. Coast Guard Lieutenant Commander Omar Borges says first thing first is cleaning up and getting that fuel out of here.
So the first thing they're going to be doing is containing the oil, trying to recover oil manually with sorbent material and using an oil recovery device, also called a skimmer.
And that cleanup work is well underway. He says it'll be a while, though, a few days to sop it all up. And then somebody has to haul that charred boat out of the harbor. Fire officials say they don't yet know what sparked the fire to begin with.
All right, John, thanks. Wildfires have burned more square miles in California so far this year than the past 2 years combined. 150 square miles. Only one death has been reported. More than 150. The number's way higher. We'll get that right. Over a dozen died in 2022 and 2023. State Fire Marshal telling Politico a good metric of success, saying it's because of early warning systems, increased firefighting resources, prescribed burns. A fire season has been destructive. Nearly 1,500 structures destroyed and 13 people hurt. Bridge fire, line fire, airport fires burning 180 square miles. Just three of those between 40 and 50% contained. Experts warn climate change is fueling more intense wildfires. More needs to be done to meet the wildfire prevention goals.
The LA County Sheriff Robert Luna has now formally banned deputy gangs in the department. Here's Natalie Tavidian.
This has been a long time coming. Sheriff Robert Luna had promised to eliminate these so-called deputy gangs within the sheriff's department throughout his campaign. His predecessor, former Sheriff Alex Villanueva, had refused to acknowledge these gangs exist. It's plagued the LA County Sheriff's Department for years, and while Sheriff Luna says it's a very small group, it's led to lawsuits, allegations of misconduct by controversial tattooed groups of deputies. Being in a gang was never explicitly grounds for losing your job. Now, Sheriff Robert Luna says it is.
We put together a more comprehensive policy with very clear expectations that really defines the conduct.
Do you think that this policy will make a big difference in the culture of the department itself?
Yes. I'm seeing a shift in the culture already. There is a lot of things that are happening. Even before this policy took place, I came in and was giving our employees very clear expectations. And even in our promotional process, when you are testing to be captain and above, you are asked questions about deputy gangs. You're even asked questions about tattoos.
He says the department didn't ask questions like that in the past. There is a report here on the Office of the Inspector General's website, which alleges violent crimes are linked to more than a dozen gangs within the sheriff's department dating back to the early 90s. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Long Beach considering increasing fines for people who leave trash all over the city. City Council voting this week for the city manager to look into some stricter penalties for those who dump the garbage illegally within city limits. A post says smelly, rotten trash is often dumped all around the poorest neighborhoods, right next to people's doors and alleyways.
We see it across our city, in our neighborhoods, on our streets, in our parks, along our railways, along the river. It's an issue that not only impacts the quality of life, but also places a significant strain on our city resources and those who care about maintaining the vibrancy of our city.
You hear the bear story?
Oh my gosh! How does it destroy this? Oh, my gosh!
Ah, this woman looking at what happened after a bear broke into her home. This was in Sierra Madre. Got inside by busting a window, wrecked a bunch of her stuff, and a lot of her furniture was thrown around, and the fridge was raided, of course. She told KCAL News that the frequency of bear encounters in that area is a concern.
I'm just worried that somebody's going to be injured or killed by one of these bears because we've become too comfortable with them.
20 minutes of nonstop news presented by LoanExchange.com for all your home loan needs.
So the Teamsters said they're not going to endorse any presidential candidate. First time in decades that's happened, and the polls show this race between Kamala Harris and Donald Trump is extremely close. Still, we talked about it this morning with AP political reporter Meg Kennard.
Let's start with those Teamsters. Non-endorsement. They didn't pick either of these two, but Trump kind of taking it as a win. Is this a matter of there's a lot of support in the ranks for him, or they just couldn't get promises from either of these? And how much does it matter?
Hey, good morning. It's really good to be back with you guys. It's certainly something that Donald Trump is taking at portraying as a victory for himself. And the Teamsters are saying that their own internal polling shows that their rank and file members do prefer Trump over Harris. But the Harris campaign is pointing out that because of some numbers that they've gathered in those battleground states among Teamsters, they say they have support. But it's definitely something that Trump is holding out as saying, look, the organization writ large opted not to endorse a Democrat. That's a win for me. I'll take it. And that's definitely the messaging that he's putting out there on the campaign trail.
Let's talk about those battleground states. We know the swing states up by now, but you see all the guys on cable with the magic wall. Are we really just at Pennsylvania to start? And if you can't carry that, especially if you're Kamala Harris, then there's only certain ways to go. I mean, for all the people who are really excited about her, they can't be blind to this real path that Donald Trump still has.
Yeah, it really does come down to this handful of states, and that's why we're seeing the candidates, their running mates, their top surrogates, really just making this rotation among those Rust Belt battlegrounds, even the Sun Belt states of North Carolina and Georgia that both campaigns contend are in play. So the margins are expected to be tight in those places. Pennsylvania is obviously really, really important, especially on the Democratic side of things. But yes, that is really where we're expecting to see things come down to. And so for campaign reporters like me, who spend a lot of our time on the road with these candidates, that does make at least our travel schedules a little bit more predictable. But then we have Trump campaigning in Long Island, New York, like he did yesterday, a state that he argues he has a possibility to win in November.
What did he say there? What do you have to lose? Just vote for me? Yeah, that was his line.
Well, yeah, that's a line he's been saying a lot. But for him, that's home territory. That's New York. And it was a really excited crowd there. So he's looking forward to that one for sure.
Is it too much of a simplification to say, you know, she needs more men and he needs more women?
I think that is kind of a simplification. That's clearly, we look at the data from past elections and see where candidates need to make up some ground that they perhaps hadn't been performing as well in years past. But this is a whole new campaign compared to how it was just a couple of months ago. So sometimes it's kind of hard to know exactly where a lot of that is going to come down.
Trump campaign does not seem to be giving up on the idea of the eating cats thing. He says he's going to Springfield soon. How is that going to go over with the locals that are saying, no, this isn't true. You got to stop talking about it.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of those local officials, including the mayor, saying, you know what, please don't come. I will tell you that former GOP candidate Vivek Ramaswamy is planning to hold his own event in Springfield. He's a top surrogate for the Trump campaign. We'll see how that goes. But when the city is telling you, yes, please calm down the rhetoric, stop talking about this, you have to wonder how much it really gains for campaigns when they do keep that up in the limelight. But, I will say, this is something that we are hearing, at least from people who are at some of these rallies on the Trump side of things, that they're repeating this rhetoric back. So it's resonating with them. But in terms of those people in the middle, I don't know how many voters are being won over in some of these issues.
Finally, is it dangerous territory that we might be headed into a government shutdown like a week from now and then a month before Election Day?
Campaign 2024 has been anything but boring. And so to have all of these dramatic moments kind of coming to the fore, we always see this shutdown stuff happen this time of year. This is an election year. So clearly that's one more bit of drama. Oftentimes there is a deal at the very last minute, but candidates would probably like for there to be some good news, at least for Harris, who is part of that current administration, that would like to be able to avoid that shutdown.
Again, that is Associated Press political reporter Meg Kennard. What's your favorite supermarket will tell you where some local favorites rank, according to a new study. And we know what remote workers really are doing when they're on the job. Yes, 20 minutes of nonstop news continues.
Middle East bracing for this response from Hezbollah to the attacks from Israel. Leaders saying they crossed a red line. It's going to be severe consequences. Nearly three dozens died, thousands injured when those pagers went off on Tuesday. And then it was the walkie-talkies yesterday in Lebanon. Some of the solar panel systems, too. Israel's defense minister saying a new era of war is underway. CBS's MTS Tayyab reports from Beirut.
Israel's defense minister has said a, quote, new phase of the war is underway, with the focus now on its northern front with Hezbollah. As CBS News has learned, the Israeli military has moved its 98th division to a position in the north.
Hezbollah's leader is talking again, saying it is the red line. Lebanese army says it's working to detonate suspicious communication devices across the country.
And we're going to talk to a Middle East expert about this a bit more coming up at 7:45. Some LAUSD teachers and their union being criticized for allegedly pushing pro-Palestinian ideas. The Israeli-American Civic Action Network says it got a hold of a video that they say is UTLA, the teachers union, and some teachers during a panel session last month that was called The Question of Palestine in UTLA. They claim that the panel raised significant concerns about union leaders conspiring to violate state law and using classrooms to push their political agendas. During the panel, one union member talked about helping students organize.
We have to know we're under the microscope. We have to know that Zionists and others are going to try to catch us in any way that they can to get us into trouble. So I organize, I help the students to organize. We go to those actions, and a lot of us here that have been to those actions have brought our students. Now, I don't take the students in my personal car. I have members of our organization who are not LAUSD employees. They take those students, and I just happen to be at the same place at the same time with them.
The Israeli-American Civic Action Network says taking underage students to political protests is a violation of the education code. They are now calling on the district leadership to make sure the classrooms are politically neutral.
Learning some more on this wish list for the weapons for some of the UC police border regions considering this request today. UCLA and nine other campuses asking for approval on things like doubling the stockpile of pepper balls, sponge rounds. LA Times says UCLA also wants eight more projectile launchers and three drones. Spokesman calls the request routine. These non-lethal options essential for maintaining readiness. Comes after the protests and the clashes with the cops, so at the schools over the spring and the encampment there at UCLA, faculty members, students speaking out against those requests.
Federal Reserve's decision to cut interest rates by 0.5% will be felt across the economy. Here's Chris Edens.
Well, for one thing, the price of financing a mortgage or buying a new car should improve. Financial expert Alexander Tomich of Boston College says many people will look at this cut as a chance to buy or refinance.
For some people, it will now finally be the time to make that purchase. For those that have fixed rate loans, they can look for refinancing. For those that are carrying credit card debt, maybe they will get a small reduction in that interest rate, which would mean a lower minimal monthly payment.
Tomich says the Fed always faces a very delicate balancing act as it tries to tame inflation while not messing with employment. I'm Chris Seaton's KNX News 97.1 FM.
Is your bank branch going to disappear?
Bank branches are disappearing all over the place, and projections show by 2041, they could disappear entirely.
So you don't need the real estate that you used to have for a lot of those banking institutions.
Wealth advisor Paul Nolte says it's because you can take care of all of your banking needs digitally. Also,
the average American's getting a little younger, and certainly you can take a picture of the check and voila, it's deposited right there. So you're seeing that being embraced a lot more. You're seeing a lot more online banking. I have clients where they say, yeah, I've got this account. I opened it online and funded it, and you know, they never visited a branch.
A recent survey finds people who like to visit a bank branch enjoy speaking to someone in person and go to make cash deposits and withdrawals. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
So USA Today did a survey, if you will, on the favorite grocery stores across the country, the top 10. And you know what was right there at the top? Trader Joe's. And after that, let's see. Well, near the top, I should say. Eighth overall, Trader Joe's. Gelson's also on the list, and it came in fifth. And Aldi, if you go there, number six on the list.
20 minutes of nonstop news. All right, more on what Hezbollah is saying after the explosions. The pagers, the walkie-talkies, Israel, they say, crossed a red line. Fears about, of course, a wider war. There's been worries about these kind of things for a while now. David Dayoud, Middle East expert with the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies.
Hi, David. Good morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you. So Hezbollah's leader says that Israel crossed a red line. Isn't that really the pot calling the kettle black?
It is in a lot of ways. I mean, he's actually on right now talking about how Hezbollah has initiated this conflict, how it is sticking to its red lines on not ceasing attacking. Israel until a prior ceasefire is achieved in Gaza, how this is a support front for what is happening in, or for the group's allies in Gaza, that this he's confessing that this is not a war that involved Lebanon directly, that had no implication really directly upon Lebanon, but that this organization entered the fight, that it displaced tens of thousands of Israeli citizens, and that it's stressing literally as we speak that they will not be allowed to return home unless a prior ceasefire achieving in Gaza. In fact, he posed it as a dare to the Israeli leadership.
Does Israel, after Hezbollah does something, do they go in, like boots on the ground?
Well, it depends on what you mean by go something be or do something. From a legal standpoint, if I might put on my legal cap here for a second, Hezbollah has crossed the line of what we call an armed attack. This is the threshold under Article 51 of the UN Charter that gives a state the right to exercise self-defense. The necessity and proportionality components of an Israeli military action have been satisfied. Necessity would say that are there peaceful alternatives, either international diplomatic solutions or appealing to the host state of Hezbollah for a solution? These have obviously failed and were expected to be failures from the outset. And then there's the proportionality component. What is effectively an extension of necessity? What is necessary to end this threat? And as we can see, the tit for tat that Israel's engaged in is simply insufficient. There'll be a need for broader action. The problem, however, is a question of legitimacy. The international community, particularly the United States, has made it very clear from the outset of Hezbollah's attack, that they do not want the conflict widening into Lebanon. It seems like Hezbollah cannot commit enough sufficient provocation to cross that legitimacy threshold as far as the international community is concerned. I mean, what more do you need after 60,000 people displaced, thousands of rockets on the north, the threat of more, and the sword of Damocles, potentially, of an October 7th style attack that would hang over the residents of northern Israel if they were to return to their homes under a ceasefire whereby Hezbollah could also return to its positions along the border.